sermons about the commandments of God and trying to approach them from a point of view of what is there. We search out the scriptures and find those beautiful truths that are there for us to be able to live by. And the fifth commandment, and I'm just ad-libbing now, it's not even in my notes, but just as we get started, just say the fifth commandment is so incredibly positive and so full of hope and, as it says, promise. But getting a little ahead of myself, but to me this is one of the areas of service that I just really enjoy to be able to share with our children, grandchildren, with your children, with the children of the church, and someday the children of the world, the truth that God has given to us. When Jesus was teaching, he often used what we call word pictures to teach some of his most important lessons. And I can just mention a few of those, and a picture will come to mind, and with it then the lesson that Christ taught. We could talk of the trees and the fruit, and so often he mentioned things like that. You know, can a good fruit, a good tree produce bad fruit? And so he's often using images and pictures to convey the spiritual message that he wanted to teach that day. The sowing of seed in a field, and we can see that lesson just mentioning it, and we remember spiritual things that Christ taught about that and how it takes time for that seed to grow and sprout and to produce the fruit that it is meant to produce. And then from the other end of that, the harvesting. And Christ often spoke of the harvest, and lift your eyes and look, and the fields are white for harvest. Those word pictures are so important in his teaching style. He talked about a tiny seed that grows into a great tree. And every time he used such an image, it helps us to begin to understand more fully and more completely what he's talking about. The pearls of great price that he was saying we should sell everything and go and buy. The treasures in a field. Even use the colors of clouds to teach us a lesson. So all of these word pictures, the storms and the floods. So as we start today, I just want to focus on this way of learning, this way of teaching that Jesus Christ gave to us. And I want to use that same teaching method today to create in our minds today a scenario, a way to visualize something that will help us to understand one of the most positive lessons in all the scriptures. So let me set the scene this way and begin to paint that word picture. Imagine yourself standing on the precipice of a canyon, and you see around you all the darkness, you see the danger, you see what's behind you, but you see something in front of you, and you see something afar off. Behind us, there are dangers, but they look very enticing, some of them. But nevertheless, there are dangers around us. If we tried to describe those dangers, we might use words like deceit, deception, destruction, and even death. It's not a place to stay. Not a place to be. It's not a place that we would desire to live. As we look down into the chasm in front of us, there seems to be no chance of crossing it safely on our own. I don't know if you've ever been at the edge of a deep canyon, and you look down and you see and think about going across that and making it safely to the other side. There could be steep and slippery slopes. One time when I was young, I was climbing in such a canyon, and the slope I was on was like, they call it rotten granite, and you hold a rock and the rock crumbles in your hand. And I got into an area like that, and it was so steep and dangerous, the only thing I could do to keep from falling, if I'd fallen, I would have certainly been killed. But the only thing I could do is just press my body against the surface and just gradually work my way up. So Sometimes we face steep and slippery slopes with no firm footing or tangled web of thorny vines. I've been hiking in Montana before and come across an area where there was so much tangled undergrowth, you just had to press your way through. And with every step, you're just, you know, fighting the vines and the thorns that are there. And then you get to the bottom of this chasm, and there's a raging river and the roiling waves that are there in the whirlpools and the undertows. I've rafted and inner-tubed rivers before where you come across an area that is quite dangerous to cross. Fun to cross, but quite dangerous. And sometimes the power of the river is just overwhelming. You can hear the boulders being rolled down the river. You can just listen like the big hammering sounds coming from the water as the big boulders even are tumbling down. And then you hear in the distance the sound and see the fog of a really big waterfall. And you know you can't float the river too far. You'll be going over that waterfall. I'm using a word picture and describing something that I hope would help us to see, in a sense, the world we're in, the life we live, the dangers around us, using the analogy in that way. But across the canyon, we can look and there is safety. There's a light and beautiful landscape, and even from afar, we can see that there is peace and tranquility and opportunity. There are family and friends who care. And as the scriptures say, a great cloud of witnesses. So I'm using an analogy to create kind of a little glimpse of our journey through life. Across that canyon, there is love and respect and honor and belonging and life, an abundant life. Christ said he came to give us an abundant life full of blessings and adventures. And then in this scenario, there's someone, and with a capital S, there's someone standing on the other side of the canyon calling us, encouraging us to escape the darkness and the dangers that surround and confront us, and to overcome the obstacles between us and him, so that we may safely cross that canyon and that river and reach the safety on the other side. Does this sound like a movie plot? To some degree, perhaps. And this word picture, I hope, will help us to understand one of the most important lessons in all of Scripture. If we look at our lives, we see that we live in a dark and dangerous world, don't we? And God calls us out of that darkness and into the light. And we can see the promises afar off, but there are obstacles between us and that lighter landscape that we see in that world to come. We find then that we need help. We need a way forward. We need a guide. We need someone to show us a path to walk. We need, if you will, a bridge to cross that canyon. And God gives us all of these things. He gives us a way forward. He gives us a guide. He gives us a path to walk on. He gives us that bridge that we need. And that bridge, in part, is our parents. That bridge, in part, is what our parents represent. He gives us the fifth commandment, which itself is a bridge. I want to describe these things as we go. He gives us the best way forward of all, and that is Jesus Christ. As we continue the series of the Ten Commandments, we now come to that fifth commandment, and the title is the fifth commandment, the first commandment with promise. I'm quoting from a scripture that we're going to read. So then let me set the foundation for our journey into this understanding of the fifth commandment. As part of the lesson that we can find by reading this commandment and then searching for some of the lessons that we find in the scripture. And there are so many, brethren, we're only going to cover one or two in this message. But let's start by reading and setting the foundation here in the Word of God in Exodus 20, in verse 12, where we read the fifth commandment. In Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I think it's really important that we notice the placement of this commandment among the others in the ten. And we see that it's sort of right after those commandments that show us how we should relate to Jesus Christ and God our Father. And it's right before those that show us how we are to relate to humanity around us. So we see that there's a promise here too, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We are to learn that lesson from a very young age, and we see this many, many years later when God inspired those words again to be written, when he showed that the commandment is still in force and to be respected. This time to be written on the hearts and minds of faithful men and women and children, and not just on the tablets of stone. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians, and we'll see this lesson begin to come out of here. And as I'm talking to the children, I also am talking to the adults. I want to include all of us, and so I want to start in Ephesians 1 and read the introduction to the book. Ephesians 1, verse 1 through 5, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. And so this is a book written to people who are known to be saints and described as being faithful. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the meat of the word is that those of us who are adults, we look at this and see that we are the children of our Father. I want us to keep that in mind. But I want our children to see it from their point of view as well. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that phrase is going to come back a couple more times in the message, that we should be holy before him. This relates directly to the fifth commandment. Having predestined us to be adoption as sons, that is to be actually given the sonship, to become in actual fact the children of God himself by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we see as the book begins, it's written to those who are begotten by God to become his own children. But we see that he's speaking to our families too, very directly to the very young ones. In Ephesians 6 and verse 1, we read this. Children, and here this word means the little ones, and among us we have some who are preteens, we have toddlers, babies. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And here is quoting from the commandment itself in Exodus 20, which is the first commandment with promise. There is a very positive aspect of this, and it's a commandment designed to be understood and able to be kept by young children. Because there are lessons that young children can learn that are so very important to the plan of God. And verse 3, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That is the promise. What a great promise that is, to be able to have a good life and to live a long life on this earth. The children were to honor the father and mother. The fifth commandment is different from the others in several ways, in very positive ways. Of course, first we see that God gave this commandment especially to children. We see that emphasized here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, especially to children. There's something important about growing up as an obedient child in a household of faith, to be able to understand all that that gives and supplies to a child as they grow. Because if we think of it, the parents are the ones who love that child the most, who care the most for that child. And I'm talking in an ideal situation. We don't all have such experiences because our parents are also the products of this age and the problems of this world too. But in an ideal situation, an ideal home, with faithful parents, the children would have a great advantage. It makes it a pretty special commandment because it's given to children. And God knows, and we as parents who are faithful to Him, we know too, that our children can learn to be obedient to this commandment at a very young age. And doing so will bring great, great blessings to them. So we're going to explore some of the ways that it is special for all who are young enough to still be called children. Those who live at home with their parents, I know some are like 40 and still live at home with their parents. They're still children then, aren't they? In this way. But we who are adults, even if we're old and our own physical parents no longer live, we're still children of God, and so this applies to us. But also the fifth commandment is different in that the Bible says it is the first commandment with promise. What an amazing thing that God did when He gave us this commandment. It shows the genius of God in giving us a commandment like this. It makes it one of the most positive of all of God's laws. And we need to understand that part of this lesson as well. It's very, very positive commandment. I want to approach it from that way. You know, there are always two sides of a coin, the heads and the tails. There's always a binary system. It's on or off. There are always consequences. There are blessings or cursings. I want to be on the blessing side because that's where we see this commandment is taught most effectively. I love positive things, and I know that most of you do as well. I think all of you do. Things that make life happier and more successful and that help us to do other things well in our time as well. The things that we do turn out better. This is a commandment that says if we follow this commandment, then we have the blessing, the promise. It says that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And that's exactly what God wants for all children. And why He gave us this promise. If we keep this commandment, our lives will be better, and He will really bless us. I'd like to consider today some of the lessons from this fifth commandment, but first, I'd like to ask you to do something. I'd like you personally to think of one or two reasons why keeping the fifth commandment is important for you as an individual. At whatever stage of life you are now, this commandment is for us to keep. Think of that. Maybe write it down. Why do you keep the fifth commandment to honor your parents? While you're thinking about that, I'd like to just mention a couple other things. But think of those reasons that you honor your mother and your father. Today, mostly from the point of view of children, it's how God instructs us while we are young. How He teaches us while we are young. This is an important part of the lesson. Let's take a closer look at Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. The promise that God gave to you, and if you're very young and you're hearing this, if you're a teenager and you're hearing this, the promise that God gave to you when you keep this commandment, what are your goals in life? And parents, you might someday ask this of your children. What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? What would you like to become when you're an adult? What does it take so that things go well for you? And put these into practical lists of you know, real things that matter to us. I know children have desires. We heard about desires in the first message. From the point of view of children, children who have desires can make choices, and those choices can help their life to be good or not as good, to go well or not go well. And the way they respond to their parents has a great deal to do with that. What does God want to give you when he says, when he gives this promise? What does he want to give to the children? He wants to give them long life. That's a great blessing. A child, maybe if they're 5 or 6 years old, they might think 20 is an old age. And they may have, their perspective is much shorter than ours. And so long life, they look at the 40-year-old mother or father and think, that's old. And then they see grandparents and great-grandparents. But children should be able to know that they are going to grow up and their life will be long and good and go well. God says that he would give these things to those who follow and keep this commandment. It doesn't mean that everything and every day in life would be great. It just means that God would be with us all the time. Whatever life brings us, we could trust God to be there for us. If you are old enough to play, and how young does that take it? If you are old enough to pick up a crayon and color on a page, if you're old enough to think about what you want and what you would like to do, what you'd like to eat, whether you'd like to take a nap or not, if you're old enough to dream and daydream and plan and think about things, if you're old enough, especially if you're old enough to read, then you're old enough to know about the fifth commandment, because this was given for children. And you're old enough to learn to keep it in such a way that God will bless you. If we were to have learned that, I'm using myself as an example. If when I was very, very young, if I had learned and kept those principles in my life would have been a lot different than it turned out to be in some cases. And God has blessed me over the years, and I am very, very grateful. But I made enough turns and twists and mistakes in my life that there were days when I didn't have those blessings. And I nearly lost my life from time to time. And I created a lot of havoc around me. But the more we can keep this commandment, the more those blessings are given to us. That's the beauty of this commandment, to honor our parents. Children can learn to keep this commandment. And parents have a responsibility to teach that to them and to show that to them. Honoring our father and mother helps us to learn from that very early age that we need other people in our lives. We need parents to guide and teach us. We need people who care about us and provide for us and protect us and teach us and nurture us and correct us and give us a good start in life and help us in many ways. We need people who love us. We need people who show us how to live and how to grow and how to learn and how to love God. This is an area of teaching that every Christian parent really must focus on, how to love God and direct our children to him You read in Deuteronomy 6 and many other places in scriptures about teaching our children while we are going about our daily routines and eating and sleeping and when we're gone and when we're home, all the time teaching our children about God. And our parents then become for us like a bridge. I talked about a canyon that we have to cross, and how do we do that? Our parents help. And if we learn at a young age and follow through in our old age about honoring God and keeping His commandments, honoring our parent, our Father God, it's like a bridge that helps us to go out of the dark world and into a place where it is more safe, to the bright and wonderful future that God says He would give to us. He would give us a good life, and it will go well for us. And we can come to understand this in relation with our Holy Father. I speak to our young ones now, to our teens, to the young ones who are here today. You are really blessed because God has given you at least one parent and sometimes two parents who believe, who understand, or are called by God and are keeping His commandments and working on their own lives to be able to be closer to God and showing you how to do it. It's like having a really big head start toward a long and happy life and a successful life. So having parents in the church is a very, very great blessing. And those of us who are parents, and those of us who are grandparents, and those of us who are members of the body who come to services and we have the chance to be a good influence on the young ones around us, we have those responsibilities to set examples for them. So how do we honor our parents? The commandment says to honor your father and your mother. How do we honor them? The very big key is here in Ephesians 6, in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I want all of us to focus on that word obey, and we're going to see how it applies to all of us as we come to the end of the service today. To honor our parents is to obey them, to recognize that we have to make choices in what we do. We have to be able to hear what they say and follow through and do it. And if we do that, and if our parents are being led by God, we will have the blessing also of their influence in a very positive way. But even still, we can obey our parents knowing that it is they who have the right and the authority by God to rear us and to teach us and to help us to learn and grow. There are some principles I want to just look at. This is especially for our parents now to think, how do I teach my children? What can I do? We can do like we see in several of the Proverbs, beginning in Proverbs chapter 1. I just open and scan through a few of the early Proverbs, and you see the connection between parents and children and this fifth commandment. In Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck." And so we find in many, many places in the scripture practical examples of how to respond to our parents. And this is a father here teaching his son. "My son," he says. And so we as parents, fathers and mothers, we can say, "My daughter, hear my instruction. Hear the instruction of your father. And give them the reason why. For they will be graceful ornaments on your head. If you listen and do what I'm trying to teach you, then it will help you to have a better life. And you can put it in on your own words that relate to your family, your children. And you see here in this context, and I use the analogy of a canyon we have to cross, you see some of those elements in the verses that follow. Verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." The parents should be able to tell their children there are dangers in the world around you. You have to be careful. You have to avoid so many of the things that are out there. They might look good, but they're not good for us. Look in verse 15. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. They lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives." It's so dangerous out there. You can put these things in our modern context of what people have to face, what is so readily available to our children, even in our homes, and these little gadgets they have, and there's so many dangers just looking, and that can change their life for the worse instead of the better. "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." And so parents have this responsibility to teach about the dangers too. Life is not all positive. There are dangers around us, and parents have the responsibility to teach about them to their children and help them to avoid them. And then look in Proverbs 2. These early Proverbs are so very helpful to parents and to children. I just want to read a few of the verses here just to show you the context. Proverbs 2, verse 1. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." Think of this, and don't just read over it if you're a parent, but think, am I truly giving words of treasure to my child? Am I giving them something of value? Is there wisdom in what I'm teaching my children? Is there something that will give them understanding of how to do things, how to know things? If you cry out for discernment, how can you discern between good and evil? A child needs to be taught that. "And lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord." It leads our children to God. If we are good parents, if we are teaching them these things, that's why I call it a bridge, a commandment that bridges between us and God, between our children, and gives them a way across all those dangerous things to be in a good relationship with God and find the knowledge of God. And the verses go on with this through the rest of this proverb as well. Look in Proverbs 3, verse 1. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." And a parent should be able to have in their home a law, a command. There are certain things we do, certain things we don't do, certain ways we behave, certain things of politeness and table manners, and all the way up to the laws of God. "For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you." And there should be that mercy too, and always truth in our teaching with our children. "Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart." That's why I went from Exodus, where it was written on the tables of stone, to Ephesians, where it's written on the tables of our heart. You can see that here in the Proverbs, write them on the tablet of your heart. These should be instilled in our children so that they never forget that good teaching of their parents, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, to find favor in the sight of God, to rear children who would be able to have that kind of favor in their life and also well-respected among the people around them too. Sometimes this takes correction, and we see this given in verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. You could read in Hebrews 12 about that approach of a father correcting his son, and he's speaking there to the adults in the church. A father who corrects his daughter, it's because he loves us. And if we have that way of responding to our Father who corrects us, and we can pass that loving correction meant to profit our children into their lives in a very positive way, and help them to see that they are indeed learning these good principles and able to learn them at the age where they can respond and avoid some of the hardships of life. In Proverbs 4, verse 1 through 4, hear, my children, the instruction of a father. You see how often the scriptures are written to the children, to the young ones, and give attention to no understanding. Child should be wanting to learn. We should instill in them a desire to learn and grow and advance in their understanding and skills and of many, many things. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, and here's something I want to pass on to you too. The scriptures speak of telling stories about our life when we were young. When I was my father's son, Solomon writes, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Someday your children will be grown. And you who are now grown and older, we can look back and say, when I was young, my mother taught me this. Those lessons that you teach now to your children will last them the rest of their life, as it did for Solomon. And he could now look down to his son and pass on what he learned. And it's a generational thing. And realize that our children, when they grow older, are going to remember their upbringing. When I was my mother's daughter, how was that? There needs to be really good memories. Needs to be a really grateful understanding that when we were young, we had such things as parents who taught us well. So when I was young, and there's my story, when I was young, I had parents who taught me about God, both my mother and my father. They were not perfect, not even close. But they did teach me about God. And there were things that I could learn from them, and I did over time. And sometimes they weren't the kind of parents they ought to have been. And often I wasn't the kind of son I could have been for them. I got into my share of trouble too. But in the long run, I can look back and say, when I was young, I learned some of these values. I learned some of these things that make a difference now in my life and that I can pass on to you and to the young ones around us. It's important that we do, brethren, teach our young ones and in a way that when they're old, they'll be able to remember those good lessons too. One more thing in Proverbs in chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. Hold fast to them. Make sure they're held close to you. When you roam, and I'm speaking now mostly to our teenagers, when you leave the home and you strike out on your own, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. That is the commands of your father and your mother. If you remember those things and you let your life be guided by those good things that your parents taught, your life will be better. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. And it so often comes back to the blessing of life as we keep this. When we learn these things, it shows us how important that fifth commandment is. It's like having that bridge to walk over so that we can be close to God. And our parents can help bridge between us and our Father in heaven by teaching us his ways. So we can become more like our Father in heaven in character and conduct and even in the way we think. I want to show one more segment in this as we wrap it up. I want to show how this works. I want to show the bridging nature of this commandment between all the other commandments of God. And this is now meat of the word for the adults. Look in Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." We read of holiness already, and now we're coming back to it. You shall be holy. The way we live should be reflecting of the way God is, because it says, "For I, the Lord your God, am holy." We should be like the Lord our God, like our Father, and like Christ our brother. We should be holy because God is holy. God is teaching us how to live better lives, to behave differently than those people who don't know him, to be more like him. And how does he say we are to be holy? Look at the next verse. "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father." That helps us to be holy. That helps us to understand that if we can revere, that is, honor and respect and obey our mother and our father, if we can do that, we will be learning to be like our parents, who are learning to be like our Father in heaven. We can be holy. And one of the things that helps us to do that is to revere our mother and our father. And then look what follows. There's a pattern I want to show you. That revering our mother and our father is the fifth commandment. And then he says, "And keep my Sabbaths." That's the fourth commandment, isn't it? So now he's starting at the fifth and he's counting back. 5, 4. "I am the Lord your God." And he goes to the second commandment. And then he goes to the first one. "Do not turn to idols. Have no other gods." You see this pattern of the law of God? And the one he starts with is the fifth one, and then he shows us if we do this, we're going to be able to be holy. We're going to have a relationship with God, our Father. And so he shows us those commands that relate to that. And then we see that pattern is kind of turned around in another place. As we continue... Nope, that was the wrong page. This commandment is for parents too. I want us to see this in 1 Peter. And I want you to notice that pattern, and we're going to see it develop. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He has made us his children. He has begotten us again." to a living hope. And he speaks then in verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, so we who have been given this blessing of being in now the family of God, we are to relate to him as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And you see this relationship of being holy. And how do we be holy? We saw in Leviticus, we counted back from the commandment of honoring our parents into those earlier commandments of honoring God. And now look what develops. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. I wanted to get to this because I want to show you that this commandment relates directly to Christ too, that he is part of that bridge that helps us to come to the Father, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We are children too, and we are to honor our Father. We are to walk across that bridge from the old way of darkness and worldliness, the cultures of this world, to the new way of light and faith and hope and love and peace. And keeping the fifth commandment as parents helps us to show our children a better way of life to live, to become a better person, a wiser and better boy or girl, to grow up to be a better man or woman, to be a person of good character, to be someday a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, and one day, too, to be a better son or daughter of God. We never outgrow in our lifetime the need to keep the fifth commandment. Even when we are old and our parents are no longer living, and there's still a lesson to learn in keeping this commandment. There's still an example to set. There is still that bridge to cross and to help others to cross it, to reach the inheritance that God will give to those children who honor their father and their mother. There's one section I left out, and I'm going to look for it in my notes. And I just found it. I told you to watch that pattern. This is great because in Olympia I get to practice and then I can clean up the presentation in Tacoma, and then it can make more sense when it's posted online. Eric does that for us. So I hope you remember that. I wrote this over on the other side of the page than I normally do. And so I want to go back. I want you to see this because it's so important. In Luke 18. And now that I've, garbled up this recording, let me just go a little bit further with you here and just tell you that there are times when I'm studying and I see something and I'm learning something new and I'm going, wow, that's really interesting. And it's like that aha moment. Well, that's what I had with this, but I wrote it. The aha came after I wrote this page, and so I put it over to the left column, and now I'm coming back to it. But I want you to see this aha moment, too. So in Leviticus, it went 5, 4, 2, 1. Let's look in Luke 18, verse 20. In Luke 18, verse 20, Christ is here as counseling the rich young ruler, and he says in verse 19, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Now look where he goes in this list of commandments. This is a pattern I saw in several different places in the scriptures. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. That's number 7. Do not murder. That's number 6. Do not steal. Goes back up to 8. Do not bear false witness. Goes to number 9. See, all these commandments, he's telling this rich young ruler, these are the commandments that help us relate to the people around us. And then he comes to this one. Honor your father and your mother. And so on the other one, he starts with honoring your father and your mother, and then he builds it so that if we do this, we're going to be able to have a good relationship with God too. On this list, he starts with the others and he builds back toward this one, the 5th one, and says, if you do these commandments and you honor your father and your mother, see, it becomes like that bridge that helps relate to God and to relate to people. And it's a really interesting way to see this. And Christ used that pattern in different ways through the scriptures. And I find that very, very interesting. And so that kind of concludes the thought of this bridge commandment. And I'll clean up my presentation. If you want to hear it without all of this ad-libbing, you'll have to listen to the Tacoma recording, okay? So appreciate it. Thank you for being so easy to speak to and merciful toward me when I mix up my notes. Okay? I have a closing hymn.